Good morning. Such a gorgeous day. Admittedly, I got outside and said, can we have service outside? That sounds nice. We're just not set up for that right now, but oh, that would be fun. But regardless, welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us this day. Today, we're going to be reflecting upon Jesus pointing out to his disciples the woman, the widow, who gave everything she had, and kind of what all God is trying to show us there. But I invite you to stand as we begin our service, as we always do, beginning, remembering who it is that we belong to. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this beautiful day that we get to gather in your presence, Lord, and to receive from you your word, Lord, your forgiveness, your meal, Lord, that we can, that you will deliver to us, Lord, through these means, the things that we need to continue to live in you. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible gift. Open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, by the work of your Holy Spirit, so that we can receive all that you offer to us today. All this we pray in your holy name. Amen. Let us confess our sins before our God. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, we've come into our Father's house today and already received forgiveness of sins for the things we have done wrong. How better can we respond by singing of his grace, his glory, and the joy that he has put in us?
Before you let your glory come and let your glory fall. Our Father, who art in heaven, the rocks cry out your fame. Come and let your glory come and let your glory fall. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song to the Lord.
First reading for today is from Philippians chapter 2. And here's one of the interesting things about the church and all the things that the church give us is we have a pericope system. And basically what it's for is it keeps pastors from becoming too fixated on their pet topics. And it forces us to preach the entire work of Scripture. But every once in a while, it seems kind of strange because like this week, it starts in the middle of a sentence. So I'm going to start one verse earlier so that we get the entire sentence. So we're going to start with Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 11. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the sermon text for today is Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." This is God's word for us today. It's now time for the children's message. So kids, if you guys would come forward at this time, Mrs. Armbruster has the message for you this morning.
How are my little friends this morning? Good? We're going to stay down there today because I want you all to see this. They talked in the second Bible reading about something that happened at the temple. And I don't know exactly what it looked like, but there was some sort of container when people were walking into the temple where they put their offerings. And it said this: there were some rich people, lots of money. And when they came to the container, I don't know if you heard the word, they threw their money. And they threw their money. What do you think is happening when I throw it in there? Did you hear that? Do you think everybody heard that?
Yeah.
And then this lady came and she had two itty bitty copper coins and she put them in. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "You guys, I want you to know that that lady that just put in two little coins, she gave a bigger gift than all those rich people." And this is why. Think about God. Do you guys know John 3:16? I do too. I love it too. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." So let's think about this. Why did God give? Why did God give? For God so loved, so he gave because he loved. Now, did God have a whole lot of sons and he said, "I'll take you and the rest of you can stay home"?
No.
How many sons did he have?
One.
One and only. And what did that son have to do?
Die on the cross.
Did he just have a tummy ache or a broken leg?
No.
No, he had to die. So God is trying to help us understand that when you give, not about the stuff, it's about your
heart.
And he said, those rich people, when they were throwing their money, were they thinking about bringing attention to themselves? Or were they thinking about God?
Themselves.
Look how much money I put in there. But that poor woman, what was she thinking about? She was thinking about what she was going to give God. And so God wants us to remember that giving is about our heart. So I have a question for you, because you guys will probably get this. What if it's mom or dad or grandma or grandpa's birthday, and you wanted to give a gift from the heart? Would you say, here you go, happy birthday, here's a dollar? Or would you make them a card that says, I love you. Thank you for being good to me and for teaching me about Jesus. Which one is a gift from your heart? What do you think?
A card.
The card. You grandmas and grandpas and moms or dad, would you rather have a dollar or a card? They're right up there. I bet they would love to have a card. What about if you're at school and you see a friend over there all by themselves? They've nobody to play with. You want to give a gift from the heart? Would you walk over and go, here's a dollar, I'm going to go play with my friends? Or would you go over and say, I'd like to play with you today? Which one would be a gift from the heart?
The second.
The second one, do you think so? So let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for teaching me how to give from the heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was growing up, I really enjoyed I Spy books. They were kind of like Where's Waldo, but instead of a cartoon drawing, if memory serves right, it was kind of more little toys and knickknacks and things arranged, and they took a picture of it. And it would say something like, I spy a key and two dogs and the three little pigs and a boy in clogs. Nice little rhymes and such. But the idea is that in the midst of a picture of chaos and there's so much going on, you're asked to focus and find particular things. And I'm putting forth this image for you because as I read through our gospel for today, that's kind of the picture I get. At the start, you have one image of the teachers of the law, the scribes, the people who Jesus paints as a picture of loving to get all the attention. In other words, it's likely that probably his disciples are already aware of them and hear them all the time. And there at the end of the reading, you get one of his disciples says, Jesus, look at this gorgeous building. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it so wonderful? Look at it, Jesus. And yet right in the middle, Jesus tells his disciples, look at her. Look at this widow. If you ever go into a restaurant by yourself, you begin to notice things that if you're, you know, in the midst of conversation with someone, you might not notice. Any restaurant worth its salt will definitely have in its mind the full experience of what you will see and what you will hear, what you'll smell as you come into a restaurant. You know, it's the type of place where if they have fajitas, you know, they bring that out to the table sizzling and everyone hears, ooh, what's that? Oh, I want that. You look at the menu and the pictures are crafted just so because they know exactly what they want you to order. And not that I'm saying that restaurants are malicious, it's just good business savvy. But they tailor very much the sights and the sounds and the smells that you will experience and to bring you in. And I just know, I notice these things more when I go to a restaurant by myself. For some of you, that might be your common experience. For some of you, you might say, Pastor, I've not been to a restaurant. I've not had that luxury in years. But the other thing that you might notice as you sit down at a restaurant by yourself is suddenly you hear conversations. You can't help it. There is always at least somebody who suddenly is louder than everyone else in the restaurant, and you hear everything that they say. Even if you're thinking to yourself, you know, they probably should keep that quiet. It might be, you know, somebody on a date, and they're just boasting on and on about how amazing they are, thinking that's the best course of action in this situation. Or maybe somebody else who is just experiencing the worst difficult things in life, and they are just going on and on about how awful it is, which sometimes is warranted. Or maybe it's somebody who just cannot stop complaining because that's the most important thing. They want everyone to know how awful and terrible they see the world is. And at the heart of all of this, usually that individual who's louder than everyone else in the restaurant wants all the attention on them. And this as well is the picture that I get as Jesus begins with somewhat of an interesting thing. As you might recall, last week, Pastor Bob finished up with someone who's a teacher of the law, a scribe, who's asking Jesus a question. And after answering the question, then the person says that, "Oh, Jesus, you answered wisely." And no one dared ask Jesus any more questions. And then Jesus asks them a question. And then after this, Jesus says, "Hey, beware of these people who just ask me questions." In this case, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces. They have the best seats at the synagogues and places of honor at feasts. They want to be noticed. They want people to respect them. They want people to say, there is a man of God, and that man is amazing. And Jesus says, let's take a little closer look for a second at who these people actually are that make everything about them. They devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. Jesus says, you see these people who like to get all the attention, and naturally you can't help it. You hear them, you see them, you're going to fixate on them. He says, pay no attention to them. Beware of them. Instead, let me show you where your eyes should go. And he sat down opposite of the treasury and watched people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people with large sums. And a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, together which makes a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this widow who has already had her whole house gobbled up by some teacher of the law, this widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything that she had, all she had to live on. And as if the disciples didn't seem to quite get the message, as they are leaving, they come out of the temple and a disciple says to Jesus, look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. You get juxtaposed 2 scenes of where naturally we are inclined to look, where our eyes are going to go upon the people or upon the beauty of the buildings or upon anywhere else. And Jesus says, no, look instead here. And as I was trying to reflect upon what it is that Jesus wants us, his disciples, to see, my first thought was, well, this woman is demonstrating great trust. So too, we are to trust in God in this way. And this is a very good message and appropriate. Admittedly, I'm grateful, to my knowledge, at this point, God has not said, Pastor Josh, I want you to close out all your bank accounts and give 100% of it to the church. Good luck with your family. Now, does that mean I'm not called to trust God? Yes, I am very much called to trust God. But it's interesting, as I further reflect on this and I listen to people far wiser than me, you get another angle of perspective on what's happening here that I think might be a little bit more pertinent to what Jesus is getting at. Amidst all the hubbub and the things that distract, Jesus is actually pointing to a picture of himself. Because in not too distant of a future from that moment, Jesus is going to have everything taken from him. By the scribes, by the teachers of the law, by the Pharisees, by those who ought to have been caring for the people of God. They will put him on trial, accuse him of false and terrible things. They will strip him, they will beat him, they will mock him, and he'll be hung on a cross. And he will give everything to those people. Everything to the ones who have already taken so much from him. He will pour out himself entirely and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." He will die for sinners. It's interesting as well, as I'm preparing for this sermon today, thinking again about experiences I have by myself and what are the things that I hear, the things that I see, and where is my focus? Where is my attention in those moments? And of course, this week I found myself in a voting booth. And as I'm sitting there filling out a piece of paper, thinking about all the things that I am hoping for in the future, all the things that I'm afraid of what might happen, I'm hearing the sounds of machines and hearing the hubbub, the chaos, the cacophony of things around me, feeling very squeezed in my little election booth, barely enough room to shift my arm appropriately. And if I'm honest, my focus is on things far different than perhaps what Jesus would have my focus be on. For I have such a strong desire, as I'm looking at people and I'm listening to people and what they think things ought to be, instead of focusing upon my Savior and my Redeemer, I'm tempted to worry about, well, what if this person is not elected? Or what if these resolutions and amendments pass? What will that mean for the future? But I'm grateful that even in those moments where my eyes are not ever fixed on Jesus and I am not enduring, when I am failing to see what Jesus wants me to see, Jesus died for my sins too. Jesus died for my failures, my times where I missed the mark, times where I fail to keep in step with God's perspective on things. It can be so tempting as we think about what the future holds to dislodge God from the entity that we fear, love, and trust in above all things. And when things don't go the way that we expect and desire, it can be so hard to see what Jesus would have us focus on. But Jesus died on behalf of sinners like you and like me. In fact, Jesus died on behalf of sinners who voted completely different than you. Jesus loves the world, that he gave his own life, so that the whole world might be reconciled to the one who created all things. So my encouragement this day, and for the rest of your days, is to look at what Jesus wants you to look at, what you should focus on. To take all your worries and your cares and your stresses, the things that you're trying to control, all the chaos around you, and instead look at Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith. And so we pray, Lord, give us eyes to see you, see you at work in the midst of our chaos. See you where you are guiding us by your Spirit. To see the people that you have put around us, whom you have equipped us to serve and to love. Help us to see and help us to follow. In your name we pray. Amen.
My friends, let us stand as we confess their faith using the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. And you know, it's fun, and the different times of life, it is really important for us to remember the most basic things. And you know, there's been a lot of excitement lately about elections. Anybody notice? Okay. Thing is this. God is God, and everybody else is not. I mean, and this is a really important thing for us to understand and to realize that regardless of who is president, regardless of who's in Congress, regardless of who's mayor and governor and all of the different offices in our country, they are not God. God is God. And the God who has loved us and provided for us, created this world, made us, put us in this world to enjoy this world, and to put us to work for him in this world, that God is still God today. And so as we confess our faith, we're going to be using the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed, which is all about how God has provided for us. So let us confess together. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse, children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. All right, everybody, have a seat. We have a Veterans Day video today as we celebrate and remember the sacrifices that have been made and are currently being made on our behalf. Other than Phil, y'all looked a lot younger back then. I guess me too. That's wild. All right, folks, let's stand up as we come before our Father in heaven in prayer. Let's thank him for those who have served us in military and currently are as well. Let's ask him for help for those who are undergoing different health issues, those who are recovering from surgery, those who are looking forward to surgery. And let's pray for all of the children and family, and then also our government, as we have got a whole bunch of new people walking into government. Let's pray God's leadership for them as well. Let's pray, my friends. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have put us in this country, Lord, and given us so many freedoms and given us the opportunity, Lord, to serve you in such unique and interesting ways. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of those who are serving us today in the military, Lord, those who are giving of themselves, going into dangerous places, doing things that the rest of us probably wouldn't want to do, but they do it willingly, and Lord, I pray that you would help them to do it with honor and dignity, and that you would continue to protect them, Lord, as they do their tasks and return them safely to us. Lord, thank you for all the generations of those who have served us in the past, and Lord, preserved your nation, or this nation, Lord. I pray that you would also continue to be with those who are newly voted into office, Lord, those who are anticipating that, Lord. I know the shock that is to a system, Lord, to go into a completely new world and a completely new place and a completely new culture, and to try to figure out exactly how to be effective in that place. Lord, I pray that you would help all these newly elected people be able to go and be effective, Lord, and to lead in a way that will bring glory and honor to you, because you are the God of all of us. Lord, I pray that you would also continue to be with all of us who are struggling with various different sicknesses. And Lord, I pray especially for Jim Moss and Paul Zeebel, Lord, as well as their wives, Jean and Kathy, Lord. Continue to be with them. Give them strength, Lord. Help them, Lord, as they are gravely sick. Lord, I pray that you would also be with Kim Becker as she is continuing to heal her arm. I pray that you thank you for Terry Weiss and his successful surgery, and that he's among us today. For Betty Stamberger, Lord, who is going to be anticipating surgery as well. Lord, I pray that you would be with these people and all others in our congregation and community, Lord, who are struggling with various health issues, Lord. You are our rock. You are our God. You are the one that can carry us through all things, Lord, and you have promised to do so. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember and be aware of your presence and your strength in all situations. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all the families of our congregation and the children. Lord, help the parents to do the necessary tasks and the necessary teaching, Lord, so that the next generation of children, Lord, will be firmly planted in you, Lord, that they will know your promises, know your word, know your stories, know your history in action among us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow all of us in our faith, so that we can give you glory in all circumstances. Thank you for your incredible love. And we pray the prayer, Lord, that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Savior, sit down and be saved.
sons of the earth, how beautiful the feet that walked the long dusty roads and the hill to the cross. How
having received this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the strength and forgiveness that he gives us in this gift, depart in his peace to serve him with joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing as we go our way. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. Be seated, my friends. All right. First of all, I'd like to release all the kids that are heading to Sunday school. If you guys want to head to the back and meet Lauren, she'll take you off to the place where you will learn. The rest of us, let's see here. First of all, veterans. Something that I would ask you to do for the benefit of the children in our school is to attend chapel tomorrow. It's in the morning. What time? About 9:30? No, about 9 o'clock. Thank you. Thanks, Megan. 9 o'clock in the morning. And then if you guys would meet us in the gym, the kids would like to be able to say thank you to you for your service. And it's wonderful for them to learn this stuff. So please, if you can do it, that would be wonderful. Operation Christmas Child, the boxes need to be in by Thursday. So please, if we can make that happen, that would be amazing. Family meeting is after the service next week. And let's see here. Angel Tree is in the back. Lauren told me that she can refill it 3 more times. So don't hold back. Grab a bunch. Bring it in. These are people. This is families from my life, from school families, and then families from the community that we've found that need help heading into Christmas. And so if you guys could help us out, helping them out, that would be absolutely amazing. And then I'd like to invite Jill Tendler to come forward. Jill Tendler is our Operation Barnabas Coordinator. Is that what we're going to call you?
Sure.
That was a good title. I like it. All right. Very good. And basically, Operation Barnabas is our ministry to service members, and she will tell you what she needs.
Sisters, the last time I visited with you was around Memorial Day, and I told you about our connection with the Veterans branch of our local Elks organization here in Eureka. They have a food pantry for the veterans, and they have a welcome home kit for homeless veterans who are given housing but have nothing. So because of your generosity, we raised over $1,000. Yeah. And so some of that money went into our Barnabas pot because we still take care of our current servers, but we also were able to provide an entire welcome home kit for them. And I have a list out at our table that tells you what all that entails. That is a big deal. We also had enough to contribute to their food pantry, and they invited me to their meeting, the Elks did, to present them with a check. And these people were so appreciative and grateful. They started to give us a standing ovation, and I said, no, it's not me, it's not us, it's God working through our church family. And they were just humbled by that. So it was a really touching, exciting thing to do, and I hope we'll be able to do it again this year. In conjunction with that, I was talking with our principal here at St. Mark's, Megan, and we were trying to come up with an idea that we could get our school children involved in this and start teaching them the meaning of the service of our military. And to that end, after I talked with the Welcome Home representative at the Elks, we came up with the idea of doing snack bags. So the kids will be collecting non-perishable snacks. And what Rick from the Elks told me was, we provide necessities. That's what they get, are necessities. They don't get any treats. They don't get any yummies. And if your kids could bag some up, we could deliver that with the Welcome Home kits and when the food pantry goes, and that would be an exciting thing. So Megan and I decided, okay, we'll have the kids bag those up, put St. Mark's stickers on there, and a little note telling them that we pray for them and that we love them. They need to know that we appreciate them. All veterans need to know that. This is a great day for our country when we celebrate our freedom, thanks to God and thanks to everyone who was willing to make the sacrifice. We tend to focus on the military veterans who were deployed, who made the greatest sacrifice with their lives and their injuries. But you know what? Everyone who signed up took an oath to leave their everyday life behind for however long and serve God and us with their very own lives if necessary. They all deserve our appreciation. We have them and God to thank for our freedom. So that's my preach. We will look forward to having cookies with you out at the table. And, of course, our Barnabas bucket is there. And my secret agent, Gavin Richardson, who's got, and he's right back here in his uniform, and he will be collecting money for us, too. How could you walk past that? Thank you all. I am so grateful for your generosity. I love my St. Mark's family.
Thank you so much, Jill. I'll second that. You guys are an amazing bunch of people. God has done astounding things through you, and there's always more to do. So thank you. Don't give up. We got to keep going. With that, God's blessings on your week, my friends, and I will see you in the back.